love running, or maybe you're thinking about starting to run, whether it's for exercise, recreation, or maybe you're just getting ready for your first 5 or 10K, join Sean, Jason, and Steven, three average guys who talk about the sport they love here on the Average Runner Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Average Runner Podcast. I'm Jason.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Steven.
And today, you might have noticed, we're already starting off with a different format. I'm spearheading the intro here, which is throwing me for a loop, but we'll give this a shot and see how it rolls, huh?
Yeah, we figured we'd change things up, give me a break this week, since Steven took the reins last episode, which I do want to say thanks to Andy for stepping in while Jason and I, what was that you said we were, Steven?
On your romantic beach getaway?
Yeah, on a romantic beach getaway with
your wives.
With our wives and four children. But thanks to Andy for stepping in so we could still get an episode out. And I enjoyed it. It was nice being on the other side, just listening for once.
Well, you're just glad you didn't have to edit.
Yeah, you did. You did send me a few Voxers on that you were... having fun with that. It's all, you know, it's always fun, just like, you know, asking Jason to do the intro this week. It's easier when you're just kicking back or when you don't do the edits, but it's a little eye-opening, I think, when you get to do the behind-the-scenes parts of the podcast, would you say?
It's a lot of work. The recording part's the easy part.
Yeah, so... Anyways, like I said, thanks to Andy for stepping in. The episode went really well, and it was kind of testing the waters in a sense. You know, it helped us out as a show, but also with you and Andy, because you guys have been throwing around the idea of doing your own podcast, running podcast out, more focused, I think, towards the Ozarks, because Andy lives, what, like an hour away from you or something?
Yeah, he's about an hour and a half away, and the area is kind of underserved. As far as information out there, and it's becoming such a hot spot, especially for trail running, just because we have so many trails in the area. So we've been kicking around the idea of putting something together that's kind of location specific. So there'll be more to come on that in the next month or two.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely look forward to that. And like you said, I mean, you guys have freaking trail races and ultras all the time out there. So there's obviously a huge...
That's how they get to work out there.
Yeah.
Hang right.
Yeah. But I mean, you obviously, there's a real big base of runners out there. So like you said, it needs to be served. So you guys can be a little more focused on that location as well. So that'll be cool. Definitely keep us informed. And I'm sure you'll post something on the Facebook group, you know, when something like that comes about. What are you thinking? Do you have any idea when you're going to start that, or?
We're thinking in a couple weeks we'll do just kind of a test episode that'll probably never see the light of day, but just to work out any kinks and bugs and, you know, get the flow down. And so I would think within a month and a half, 2 months, there'll be the first episode will be out.
Cool. Well, you guys had good flow on the last episode. So, you know, if that's a sign of how things will go, I think it'll be pretty good. I can't wait till you release the name. I'm hoping you kind of go with what I've been suggesting, but we'll see. We won't mention anything until it comes out.
You can mention your suggestion. You can.
I think my name was the Hillbilly Express Running Podcast or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to fly. I kind of like it, but I don't know. We'll see.
All right, we'll keep our eyes posted for that. Anyway, so it's been a while since we've talked in this format as far as what we've been up to. Jay, what, you know, last time we recorded, I believe, was it we did one after the recap, right? After the Buffalo recap, we did one more episode, I believe.
Yes.
But how are things, you know, how are things going with you at this point?
They're going well, I guess. I'm in what I'll call lazy mode.
I love the honesty.
Since the marathon, I haven't been running like I normally do, and it's, you know, it's starting to catch up to me. I'm kind of regretting it, but it's tough. It's tough.
In what way is it catching up with you? You mean?
Well, you know. Even when you are running, you know how you, when you see people running, you're like, you think to yourself, oh man, I should be out there, or I should have went this morning. Well, now that's really starting to get to me when I see someone out there. I'm like, oh my God, I really should have ran this morning, or
Are you thinking that, but also in the same breath, you know, or under your breath, are you calling them names?
Maybe, you know. Maybe I mutter something like, really, go back inside. It's hot.
Right.
You know, no.
but you're feeling fine as far as, like, you're not, you know, dealing with any kind of injuries or anything like that since the marathon.
No injuries. I'm feeling fine. I mean, I feel like I could go out and run at my normal, you know, training pace or better, but you know, the few runs that I have peppered in, including that one that you and I had done last weekend there, I am lacking in fitness. Just getting winded real early, you know, and that's fine. I understand that. I'm totally okay with that because I've done it to myself. But I'm ready to get back into it.
Well, that's good.
It'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, it comes back. You just like you say, you have to just work at it and get back to get that fitness back going is the first thing, you know, before, you know, you're worried about mileage and all that. I would think, because even that day we went, that was like probably. Excuse me, that was kind of a fluke as far as weather-wise. It's been horrible here.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we're always complaining about the weather in some way here in, you know, in Buffalo, but it really has just been so gosh damn hot, and we've had no rain and humidity. But that this past weekend when we ran the day before, I think, as well with Bill, and it was gorgeous morning, so... it was kind of a teaser for you, and then it was like after that this week it just went back to shit, basically.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I think it's been a little hot everywhere.
Yeah, no, it's the whole country's going crazy here. It's ridiculous. But no, I did 6 miles, maybe it was a little over 6 miles, I think, and that's actually the longest I have ran since the marathon, which is pretty sad actually, but.
Huh.
That's all right. We'll get it back. It's fine.
Yeah.
You like the lack of silence after that comment? No coddling. No, like, no, man, it's okay. You know, it's only been 2.5 months. It's all right.
Yeah.
No, I love it, man. You were honest in the beginning. You've been lazy about it.
You might as well just say WTF. I mean,
you know, speaking of the hot weather, do you guys like to get, I try to get out when it's really hot just because it's such good training for when it cools down. You know, if you can sludge through 15 miles at, you know, 90 degrees, boy, that really helps come fall. You know, that really helps.
You want my honest answer on that, or you want me to give you like some bullshit?
You can lie to me. It's all right. You can lie to me. Go ahead.
No, I don't. Screw this. I hate running in this weather. I long to be able to put on my winter running gear, tights and like thin gloves and everything.
Let's not get crazy.
No, man, right? I am so tired of this. I mean, I'm not looking forward to snow, but I'm serious, man. If I woke up tomorrow and it was like 50 degrees out for the next 3 months and then it went into winter, well, I'd be so happy.
50 is different, dude. 50 is different than putting on tights.
No, I'll take 40. I love running in the cold. I do. I really do like running in the cold. It's just the ice. That's the issue with me, like winter running. As far as like being super cold out, I mean, once you get past a mile, you're fine. You just got to get that blood moving and the heart rate up, but then you're fine. It's just I don't like the dangers of ice, but I do not like this stuff. I mean, I've ran somewhat more than Jason has since the marathon.
Yeah, not too much.
I've had some decent miles. It hasn't been from laziness. It's just been
not talking to you guys anymore.
it's been basically from just dealing with different setbacks injury wise since the marathon. I mean, some I talked about leading into the marathon and then after and then another one that was kind of brought on by ego and stupidity on a trail run when I got my buddy Mike. On a trail run and these two young bucks came flying up this super steep hill that we were dogging going up. And I was like, freaking son of a bitches. So, once we got into somewhat flatter, we chased him down. I chased him down. Mike, I think, was smiling behind me because I think he knew what I was doing and I had to catch up. But, by doing that, it threw me into some, issues with my calf. Cause there were some hills that I just kind of ran up really hard and, it set me back for a few weeks, but now everything seems to be just good, clicking. You know, I'm afraid to jinx myself. So I'm in the process now. I started basically like Saturday, and then I took that run with Jason. Those were kind of test runs. One was a trail run, short 6 miler, but really super fun. Probably one of the funnest trails I've ran on before, with Bill, and then with Jason. And now I'm trying to get back into what I did in my Buffalo cycle, which was get up at the crack of dawn before work and get my miles in. So I'm trying to ease into that, but this morning kind of leads into your question. I came downstairs, like I have air conditioning in my bedroom here. When I got downstairs and I look out the window, I could just walking outside, I could feel it. And there was like fog outside, and I said, yep, not going. I'm not going. I went down in the basement and got on the couch and watched the news, and where it was a little bit cooler. Probably should have jumped on the treadmill, but I had done a workout the night before, so I just said, screw it.
Yeah, and don't misunderstand me. I don't like the extreme heat, but I find it's really good training for those fall races. You know, just if you can force yourself to slog 15 miles at, you know, 95 degrees, even though it's at a crawling pace, come fall, man, it really helps.
I have to respectfully disagree with that, and I have no scientific, you know, data to back that up. I could see if you're going into like a hot run, maybe to get yourself acclimated to that, but I don't know. I don't think I'll run any better in the fall by running in this crap. I really don't.
It's not fun.
It's not fun. That's kind of where I'm at now. You know, my buddy Glenn, and who I co-host the Negative Splits with, you know, we both have been dealing. He's been dealing with an issue a lot longer than me. I've had like little multiple ones that have added up, but the two of us, you know, we're tired of being injured and tired of missing out on runs when I want, because I've been wanting to run the past 2 months. It's just these setbacks. You know, so like the two of us are like, look, we gotta be smart. You know, I gotta go in back into this easy, you know. Yeah. I'm not, don't get me wrong, I would love to do a 20 miler this weekend, you know, but it would not be smart. So I'm just trying to get back into the flow, not worry so much about pacing and mileage and everything right now. I'm really just trying to go basically, you know, the 80-20 kind of method. You know, Matt Fitzgerald, that's, you know, what he talks about. And again, to plug the splits, we just did an interview with him, and just listening to that interview, you know, listening to it in the edit version and everything really kind of sunk in, like, look, you know, you got to take care of yourself. You got to run smart to run for a long time. So it's kind of where I'm at this point.
Now, Sean, you took a little adventure on some just gentle rolling hills the other week, if I remember right.
Yeah.
What wasn't much elevation, but only like 8,000-9,000 feet, something like
that. Yeah, I think when I finished, I was at 8,900. Yeah. If I would have finished, spoiler, it would have been over 12, but was the Bristol Mountain Challenge, the 50K that I've been talking about.
So I have a question for you, and I know you're going to probably go in depth on the splits, but it's just a question that's been bothering me. Why in the flip did you pick your first ultra on a course with so much elevation when you run on places that are flat as a pancake? Because I'll be honest, when I saw the elevation chart when they finally posted, I put my head in my hands. I'm like, those boys are going to die.
Yeah. It was definitely no joke. It was an eye opener for sure. But to be honest, you know, I talked about this last year, how I wanted to do a 50K, and I had considered doing this Chautauqua Ultra, which was a 50K, similar to like what you did on the Rails Trail. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that wouldn't have been a difficult race. 32 miles is difficult, but it wasn't what I wanted. I wanted a trail ultra. And when Mike sent me this, I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find anything either time wise in the timeline for my family schedule, or even just distance wise, something that I didn't have to travel 3-4 hours to go to. And it sounded good, but there wasn't a lot of information I mean, it was at a ski, other than it was at a ski resort, I mean, but I really didn't think it would be running up, straight up ski slope and then straight down. You know what I'm saying? So I thought it would be more, because when we got to the summit, there were like cross country ski trails. So I assumed it'd be more like that. And obviously with some elevation in it, but I didn't think it would be so vertical, you know?
Right.
So it was just a knee jerk reaction to sign up.
Yeah. And I'll admit, cause I kept checking the website and they didn't have the elevation on there for the longest time. And I was kind of assuming, guess what you were thinking, that they had trail, you know, like cross country trails, and maybe you'd go up one slope and, you know, then you're on the trails. And then when they finally post the elevation, I was just like, dear Lord.
Yeah. Well, and I had looked up the elevation of the summit. You know, I Googled it and it was, you know, over 2000 feet. So I thought, okay, you know, three loops of 10 miles, 10.3 miles or whatever. But what happened was on each loop, you would summit and then you would descend and then you would resummit and then descend. And that would be a loop. So you were doubling up the elevation each loop. So, but you know, I went in not arrogant about it at all by any means. I should have gone in more concerned. I was definitely taken aback by the time allotted per loop, which was 4 hours. I mean, I don't regret it trying it at all. It was quite the experience. It really was. I mean, it was an eye opener in different ways.
So what, you know, being an eye opener, what did you take away from that race? What lessons did you learn?
I think that I am capable of more than I thought I was, even being undertrained. It's not to say that I can't do better at it. I'm going to try it next year. I'm going to attempt it again next year. Obviously I know now what I'm up against, and I mean, but for not training with elevation and everything, I felt that, I was very surprised at how I felt physically with this race. You know, obviously it was hard. I got winded at times going up. You'd have to stop and rest. There was no, put it this way, there was no running up these hills. It's a ski slope.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you power hiked these things. And at one point we got, you know, heavy duty sticks and used them as like trekking poles, you know? And it's funny, cause there was people with trekking poles in the beginning, and I'm not going to lie, I kind of looked at him in my head going, are you freaking serious? Really? Like, this isn't the Rocky Mountains, man. I will have trekking poles next year for sure. But I, you know, I learned that, nutrition and hydration are a huge, huge, big thing. And I felt like I really got that dialed in after about three, maybe 4 miles. I learned quickly that I wasn't taking in enough. And then, you know, Glenn has a friend, Corey. He's a very accomplished ultra runner, super talented guy. And he had passed some information to Glenn and said, look, drink early, eat early, keep drinking, keep eating, even if you don't want to. And, why it took me like to mile three or so or four was I thought I was drinking enough, you know, I threw a gel in, but when I took a leak for the first time, it wasn't how I would want it to be. It was a little dark. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, that's not a good sign. And I'm 3 miles in. From that point on, that message that Corey had sent Glenn, that passed along to you know, myself and Kevin and Mike, really kicked in. And I tell you, man, I drank a ton of water. I took gels in. I hit the aid stations. I consumed a ton of food at the aid stations. Physically, I felt great. Basically, what else I came out of it was what ended my race was my mental weakness, and not in a sense of, I don't know if I can physically do this. Like, I felt physically, I felt great. But there was four of us that went in together, and for different reasons, you know, there was guys just dropped one after another at different times. And I knew that because I've got such a fear of heights, that there was two of the ascents that were so steep that I couldn't look around. I had to look at the ground and power hike.
Couldn't break through that block kind of
thing. Like I couldn't, like at one point I could look behind me on some of them, look behind me, see who was behind, whatever. Two of these ascents, like I could not look around, like just focus right, you know, below me and whatever. And one of them is like when you got like three quarters of the way up, then you had to go from like the, cause you're going up the left side of the slope. Then you had to go to the right side of the slope on an angle cutting up. The first loop doing those two, and there was other ones, there was three or four more ascents. The other ones I was like, okay with, like they're high, but, these two and the first loop, I was like, oh shit, this is really high. I don't like this. Let's just go. By the second loop, because now I'm like 6 hours into this run, it started getting harder for me to mentally push through it. So I knew that I could not finish the third loop without by myself. I just knew it. I knew that if I got to those points, I would probably lock up on the hill for a little bit, waste a lot of time. And, not to mention, I'm going to be totally honest, man, there was bear scat everywhere on this course, everywhere. And the idea of being out there by myself, you know, scared the crap out of me too. So it's like these mental things are what ended my race for myself.
Now, I know I got some reports early. I know the weather wasn't that nice either, that it had been raining. Did that maybe play into part of the mental, you know, like you're just like, this sucks, you know?
No, honestly, because the weather wasn't all that bad and it rained. It probably rained for like an hour and a half, maybe, I think, total. I mean, it obviously made things, the terrain, a little more slippery on some of the, there was one downhill descent where you could not run. You had to just walk. It wasn't cleared at all. There was just like, it kind of seemed like a deer trail. You know, it was slippery, you know, Glenn and I were falling, laughing at each other. And then 2 seconds later, that one would fall. But, no, that didn't really play into effect that way. Other than after my shoes, I guess when my shoes got wet, I wear the Saucony Peregrine 6. Awesome shoes, man. The lugs on these were so aggressive on these hills. They were awesome. It helped me out in the descent. Slow down when I need to slow down. And dig in when I need to dig in to get up. But on the descents, you know, your feet, your toes just start smashing into the toe box because you're wet. And and your inserts, and my inserts started balling up because they were wet. I mean, there was one unmanned aid station, water station, where in the garbage can there was a pair of Hoka inserts. So I was happening to multiple people. So
pulling them out.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the only issue I had with the rain. I mean, it was actually, to be honest, I kind of liked it for a little bit, but.
Oh, I bet. Cooling. And
yeah.
Stuff.
Fortunately, it wasn't as hot as it's been. It wasn't that bad, but, it was a crazy course, man. It really was.
But you are seeking revenge, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And I just told you I thought you were absolutely crazy for doing this race.
Yeah, you probably wonder why anybody would want to do it.
And you're going to go back next year and do it, right?
Right.
Okay. Should we let him in?
I had thrown the idea out there of jokingly. I was like, dude, why don't you come out and run this thing? And surprisingly, they're like, well, brother, I was thinking about it, and, you know, it might not interfere with my race. And I think I just might. So I was like, sweet.
Man, do I really sound like that?
Jay, was that close?
That was pretty good.
Damn, y'all. Have to start throwing some used guys in there.
But overall, I mean, it was a great experience. And just like Buffalo, I beat myself up for about 2 or 3 days. And there's still, unlike Buffalo, like I moved past the Buffalo Marathon. I accepted that, you know, it just wasn't meant to be for a lot of people that day, whatever, as far as the weather and time goals. But, you know, this one, again, it's like there's part of me who I was super excited. I was like, I can't even believe I made it that far. You know, I made it like a little over 22 miles. Obviously about 10 miles shy of, the goal. But I felt good because I physically felt so good during this race. Spirits wise, I felt great. I never had that moment of like, crap, you know, I don't want to do this. And like, don't don't get me wrong, there was times where I was like, holy crap, this is long. Even starting, like I started the third loop with Kevin and, you know, I was like, holy crap, I got four more hours of this, you know, because we would just make the cutoffs by like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't a whole lot of time to, you know, to play with.
Right. That doesn't seem like a lot of time at all. I mean, I wonder if they mistimed those loops in general, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, we were talking about that, and it almost seems like, you know, Mike and I were saying that they could have started it probably at least 2 hours earlier. The race started at 8 a.m. You know, I know in the mountains, you know, like that, it'll take a little longer for the sunlight to break through in those things, but they definitely could have started at it. At this time of year, they could have started it like at 6 in the morning, maybe just gave you a little, you know, extra 2 hours, split that up even five, but... But, you know, I guess it all depends on your training, too, and your abilities. I mean, the guy that won the thing, geez, man, this guy was, I think, getting each loop done in less than 3 hours. So, and the guy was a machine, just absolute freaking machine. He just powered through it. I mean, I'll be honest, he freaking laughed us. we were going up, I think, the last big descent or second to last big descent of the second loop, And Mike's like, yeah, there's somebody coming up on us. And I'm like, well, I didn't see anybody coming down the hill before. And sure enough, man, and it was the guy who ended up winning. So, you know, I'm hoping, to be honest, like now I know what I'm up against. I know I have to do more training and I got to work on some hills and I got to work on my mental game as far as that. Like I got to be able to get up those hills. And I'm hoping, to be honest, I'm hoping that maybe if I can cut my time a little bit, that buys me a little mental break too to kind of fight mm-hmm. through that, because you know I was worried about time, I was freaking out about time. I mean, I feel like I rushed you know Kevin and Mike through the last aid station between, because I felt like we needed to bank as much time as we had, you know, and at that point my buddy Mike was I don't know if he was, you know, bonking, you know, hitting a wall or what, he wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. You know, Jason, you've met Mike once or twice. I mean, the guy is like, he's like Mr. Rogers. He's Mr. Happy, positive and everything. And when he's not like that, I knew something was wrong. He wanted more time at the aid station. And I basically was like, we got to go. Like, come on. I was trying to be, I wasn't trying to be an asshole, you know, or bossy. I was trying to get us moving and getting on to that next loop to give us enough time to play with, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like, I don't know, it is hard. There was, you know, there was issues with Glenn on the first loop. You know, we had what we concluded to afterwards with many talks, some non-communication as far as where he was at, where, how he was feeling. And, you know, we ultimately, it sounds really bad, but we ultimately left them behind. We were at a point where I was starting to really, we went into the race going, time's not an issue. You know, I'll finish when we do. It's not a big deal. But the reality of it, there was a race, and it was a race against the clock.
Yeah.
A race against the clock per loop. And I felt like, I felt as if he was starting to kind of slip into a spot where that wasn't good. And not only not good for him to finish, but I thought it could potentially jeopardize everyone's race. It was an awkward situation. It wasn't something I was really comfortable with. I didn't want to leave my friend behind on a,
right,
you know, less than 10 miles into a 30 some mile race. But I also wanted to give myself, the opportunity to finish, you know. So I made what was uncomfortable, but I felt like needed to do is, look, we need to talk about this, what we're going to do. Are we going to wait at the aid station? We move on. And so ultimately we moved on. And, you know, Glenn, I think basically when he came through and finished that loop, I think basically, not to put words in his mouth, but from what we discussed, made the same call basically that I did later on in the race, was that I couldn't mentally, I needed someone there with me. And I think the idea of him now, not me doing 10, but him doing 20 on his own, was a little overwhelming. You know, and I think that's when he decided that was it for him, because he came into the aid station, I think with about, I think 7 minutes to spare, 6 minutes to spare. So that's not leaving you a whole lot of time in the aid station either, because we did wait in the aid station for him. We waited. We left word at one of the aid stations that we were concerned, because I didn't know. I didn't know.
So I think the big takeaway, if you're going to be racing with friends and stuff, to have these conversations before the race. Because, you know, like, well, I've run with, you know, raced with people. Andy and I have raced. We're like, yeah, we're going to run it together, you know, and like, okay, that's fine. You know, I made it clear last 2 miles, friendship's off. I'm gone. You know, if you got more than I do, you go. If I got more than you, I'm going. So it almost sounds like there's, for people out there that run with friends and stuff and who are serious about racing, maybe you should have those conversations before the race. Like, hey, if you're slowing down, do you mind if I leave, or, you know, whatever, just to kind of get things out in the open.
Yeah. Well, we've had that conversation since, so he knows where I stand. I mean, I think all my running buddies that I do these races with, I think they all know where I stand. And I do feel like that. It's like, you know, same way, if someone's hurt, that's one thing. But if I think someone's just lagging, or, you know, if I can obviously help them pep talk, whatever. I mean, obviously me and Bill and I really fed it off each other and helped each other with Buffalo, you know, different circumstance. Yeah. There was a point where I think he needed me when I first got there, and then a point where it kind of changed and I needed him, you know, to give me some stability. And then it was kind of like, let's finish this out now. But really, I mean, it was just like, I went into this thing. It's funny, when we drove up, Kevin, you know, a mutual friend of Glenn, is, he kind of laughed at me on the race, because when we drove up, he's like, so Sean, what are you thinking our finish time, you know, might be, or something? I go, I think I said something like, I don't know, maybe seven, eight, 9 hours, something like that. And like, we realized like we were going to need just about every bit of that 12 hours to finish, you know? So, you know, cause I was basing it on the summit height, not the fact that we would summit descent.
Go up and down,
down. Doubling up, you know? So I'm like, well, Jesus, you know, it's 2000. Yeah, it's going to be tough. But, you know, that's why I thought like you'd go up to the summit, or at least zigzag your way around, maybe then get up to the summit, maybe do some, you know, switchbacks down. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't think it would be just total ski slopes. It was an eye opener that, holy crap, no, we are racing, in a sense. We are racing the clock, because the minute we miss that cutoff, you're pulled. They told you, we're going to pull you out. And so it was an uncomfortable situation. We've talked about it. We're still, you know, we're all good and everything. But that conversation you said we should have now, like, obviously I wasn't made before. It's been made now. I'm the same way. It's like, once it's race time, unless someone's hurt, like, I want to go. But anyways, to move on from all that.
One last thing about Bristol.
No, we can still talk about Bristol.
For all us nerds out there, how'd the gear do? I know you had your vest, you had your Sauconys on, you kind of mentioned those a little bit. Any other gear you took out?
Everything worked great. You know, I had my drop bag, which is overpacked, but that's how I am. I'd rather have, you know, things I'm not going to end up using, rather than have things I want and I don't have.
You did remember your watch, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I had two watches. I wasn't sure if my Garmin would make it, so I had my TomTom charged in my drop bag, which I did put on at the beginning of Loop 3, because I was like, it's getting lower. I probably would have been okay, but after dropping, getting a DNF, it obviously was enough. But no, the vest fit great. It worked great. I had the Saucony Peregrines. It was only my third time I think wearing them, but I love them, and as I bought them a little big, and I kind of was like, crap, you know, I know I do usually leave room in my shoes, but I felt like there was a little too much. Nah, man, they worked perfect for this thing. It was perfect.
Oh, that's good.
I think if it wasn't for the rain and the downhills with slipping so much and having my toes jam in the toe box because of that, I think my toes would have been fine. I have some issues with them now, but nothing that's like hindering me. It's just basically the three toenails that I lost after Buffalo, the little baby nails that are coming in are black already, so but other than that, man, the grip on these shoes are amazing. But I gotta tell you what, man, the ascents were killer, but the descents on these things were so much fun. I mean, it was hard to hold back, man. I was having a freaking blast, but I knew I didn't want to blow up my quads or anything. And
right,
but I'm not gonna lie, man. I kind of would just go with it. And I was like, because I actually went into this race thinking I would be lucky to finish one loop anyway. So I was just like, shit, as long as I feel good, I'm going to enjoy this. And a couple days after, different story. That's when my quads really were blowing up. But, you know, I had enough gels on me for each loop. I had gels in my drop bag so I could reload. And
did you use the V fuels?
I did. I used the V fuels, which I hadn't really used before, and I really like them, man. The consistency on those things are really, really good. They're like not watery, but they're not that thick paste that, you know what I mean, of most gels. Mm. So they worked great. Didn't bother my stomach. The aid stations were great, man. You had your orange wedges, your watermelon slices. You had chocolate sandwich cookies, vanilla sandwich cookies, pretzels, chips, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Oh, my God. They were like...
Those do hit the spot.
They were like heaven, man. And I'll tell you what, I passed them up on the first, because when you got to the summit, there's an aid station. And then you descend through the course, and then you have to reascend to that aid station before you go back down to finish the loop. And when we first went through it, the guys, we ate, and I didn't have any. I thought the peanut butter might bother me as I'm running. Mm-hmm. And Kevin was like, that was the best peanut butter jelly sandwich I've ever had in my life. So all I could think about was those peanut, and man, I'll tell you what, they were good. You know, it was like taking a sandwich and cutting it in fours, tons of jelly and peanut butter. Mm-hmm. But I kept up, like I said, when his buddy Corey said that, I made sure. I got to tell you, the people at the aid stations were amazing. So helpful.
Yeah.
You know, what do you need? What do you need? You know, I need to fill my bladder, and I have a real nice Nathan bladder where it just unlocks at the top. You open it, you can fill it in no matter what time. They would fill the bladder. You know, I would also have Gatorade at every aid station, lots of chips for the salt, oranges, you know, I didn't really eat the cookies. I had two cookies and I tried to eat pretzels for the salt, but they were just too pasty in my mouth, you know?
Yeah.
But the chips were fine, so I get the salt with the chips. And Mike had actually made some salt potatoes and left them in his drop bag, so we would have little red salt potatoes. Oh, my God, they were heaven.
Oh.
Absolute heaven.
Oh, I never thought about that. Let's try that.
Yeah, so great time. I had planned, you know, I had my GoPro with me. I had extra microchip, you know, SD cards. I had multiple batteries. I had enough to film, and I really didn't film a lot because you were either power hiking up a hill using your hands or bombing down a hill, and you can only watch so many bouncy videos of going down a hill, you know.
I understand that. Mr. J, you got questions?
I think we've covered all the questions I had.
Yeah, well, that's Bristol. Like I said, you're planning on coming out next year to do it. If they do it, I don't know. This was the first year, so hopefully they do it again. I got they gave away a really sweet T-shirt like that. It's like a...
Well, I'm sold.
Yeah, well, dude, that T-shirt and the bib that I guess still need to write a big DNF on it. Those are going to be hung down in the basement in my workout area. Like, I will not wear that shirt till I finish that race next year.
What do they have? What do they have for finishers? Do they have medal packages or anything like that?
Finishers get a medal. You get a finishing medal, and I think that the overall male and female finisher, I think they only got a buff. To be quite honest, I think that's all they got extra. I could be wrong. Maybe they got a finish like first place medal, but
now there wasn't a lot of people in this race. I mean, I noticed that quite a few of them actually were a DNF.
Yeah, there was a cap. For the 50K cap was 50 people, and I believe they said 16 people didn't even show up. So they you know, either wimped out ahead of time or just couldn't make it or something, whatever. And then I think there was a really good number of DNFs throughout the course, which sucks because, you know, we were feeling really good, and we had asked before we even finished the first loop, and they had said people dropped already. We came through the aid station at the end of loop one, going to loop two. They said a ton of people had dropped. So it was like, man, how great will this be to finish? Oh, and I got to tell you something. when you come down that last hill to the start finish is where you would check in for each loop. Like, they'd have like music and they'd start yelling like, oh, you know, they're coming down. You came a lot of spear. Man, that felt really cool. Like you're bombing down this hill, almost can't even slow yourself down, and just coming running in, man, I need to feel that next year, but have it be the finish line. I have to. I can't not try it again.
All right. Well, we're going to do it, brother.
Sounds good. Jay?
We'll see.
I'm not pressuring. I don't want to get blamed for pressuring them, but it was a weekend event too. They had like different races and 20 miler the next day and all this stuff. So they got a lot of stuff going. So I'm hoping it was successful enough to where they'll do it again. I hope, because I don't want to not get in. I don't want to be denied a finish just because they don't have it again. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Because it's a break into the ski resort and run it unofficial.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, you have another race coming up, don't you, pretty soon?
Yeah, my plan is to do, it's called Eight in the Rough. I did it last year. It's a trail race, a little ways from here, but it's pretty technical race. It's all single track. There's a little bit of double track to lead into it, but it's pretty much for the most part, you know, I'd say it's probably like 75% of it, if not more, 80 is like single track. Like I said, there's some double track going in and then towards the end coming down out by this creek. But it's just a fun, real fun race. So I want to do that. And then I did the Ridge Walk 15 mile trail race last year. I'm up in the air about that. I want to do it. It's fun. I'm just not sure. And I probably should, because I did sign up the next day after I took a DNF on my 50K. I signed up for another 50K. In November.
Attaboy.
So yeah, you know, I don't accept defeat well. This one's only, I think, a total of 6,000 feet. So still, for us flatlanders, it's still elevation. But in comparison to, I guess you can look at it as you're running in the heat for the fall. Maybe I can look at, you know, Bristol, shit, I did 8,900, you know, feet. Maybe this won't be as bad, but I still need to train. And that's what I'm trying to do now. Yesterday I did some, you know, elevation training on the treadmill, because that's all I have here. You know, I put it at the full 10% and ran on that. So I'm planning on doing that every week, hoping to increase my mileage each week as well. But so I'll probably do the Ridge Walk as a training run. You know, it's a few weeks before. So, you know, that's what I got going. And Jay, I know you were talking about, you wanted to kind of get into some trails, a little interested in those two specific races as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. I actually have to go on and see if they're not, filled up already. I definitely want to do the Eight in the Rough, and I'm very interested in doing the Ridge Walk. The Ridge Walk, you said, was, that's 15?
There's a few different ones. There is a 15, and I want to say maybe a 10K. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested in doing both of those, actually.
So yeah, you'll have fun. I mean, like I said, Eight in a Rough, I think it's like 8.7 or 8.8 miles. They lie. Because when I got to 8 miles, I was like, what the heck, man? This ain't over yet? Because at the end of that race is a pretty... again, in comparison to what I just did, it's not much, but it's a pretty decent climb. And Ridge Walk, I'll be honest, that's a pretty beastly run itself. I mean, that was 15 miles, and you know, I was pretty beat up at the end of it, but very fun. And I told Jason this the other day, even though it was just 15 miles, it has an ultra feel to it, especially just attempting my first and experiencing it. It really does. Even though the mileage isn't what an ultra would be, it does have that feel to it. It's a very cool race.
My very first trail race ever did was 8K, and it was on a very technical course. And this was just about a month after my very first marathon. And I think that 8 mile trail run was harder than the damn marathon.
Yeah,
I was more beat up after it than I was running the marathon.
Yeah, it's a totally different beast, you know, a different way of running. You definitely can't, at least for us normal guys, you can't go into it thinking you're going to bring your road pace into it. You know, I mean, maybe eventually if you did it more often and like you or you live somewhere, you could train more on it. You could get to that point, but I think for someone like me, I'll never hit my road pace on a trail, but I would like to say I'm going to try to give Eight in the Rough at least a run for my age group. I mean, maybe I don't get close, but I don't know. I want to give it a shot. It's a shorter distance. You know what I mean? I think I could push a little bit harder for that distance.
Yeah.
15 miles? No. No. Ain't going to happen. But like Jay said, I got to look. You know, I'm just saying I'm going to do these things. I got to look, make sure 8 and a rough is still open. I mean, I think, shit, less than a year or a month away.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's getting last minute.
So, Jason, you also, you know, you mentioned about, and I think this is kind of interesting, about maybe doing a half in the fall. But it's going to be a different experience because, one, you'll be training by yourself leading into it. But two, basically, unless you find, you know, someone else you're talking to, but you're pretty much going to be doing that one solo.
Yeah, I think I will end up doing that one solo. And I'm kind of excited about it because I don't normally do more than one half. You know, just we do the Grand Island at the beginning of the year, and then, you know, we typically don't do that, or I haven't anyways. So I'm kind of excited that I'm going to, you know, put that on my horizon and then, you know, do some training for that and just end the year on that. I think that'll be pretty cool for me. So
when does that race take place?
That is October 29th.
Okay, so you're just probably getting close to starting training for that if you're going
to
do it, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, my goal was to start this week, actually.
Wow, this sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Let's see how this goes, folks.
It'll be fine. I got it.
Sun was in your eyes, pebble in your shoe.
There was a cloud outside.
Yeah. Well, if you do Ridgewalk too, I mean, you'll be coming off of that. So,
yeah. And I honestly haven't decided. It'd be nice to do a PR for this half, but I'm not totally decided if that's what I want to do. I just more or less kind of want to do it, you know, and just go in with no expectations kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah. And I think sometimes that can be your best race. It has been for me at times where I kind of go in and go, well, it's just going to be whatever.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, that time of year, it should be a good temperature.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And it's going to be a beautiful course. I mean, we know where it's at. Yeah. It's down the southern tier of New York. So you're in the hills. There's a ski resort right there. Great foliage at that time of year. I would have to assume Grand Island is such a good place for a PR because it's flat. It's just completely flat out and back. You know, I don't know. This has got to have some, I would think, I don't know the exact course, but I think some elevation in it a little bit.
Yeah, I looked at the course. I didn't really see any elevation marked on there, but I'm familiar with Ellicottville and the way the course runs. Excuse me, you start in Ellicottville and you kind of run, the course kind of takes you a little more north, which is towards, you know, towards one of the ski slopes that's in Ellicottville. So,
oh yeah, where the hills are.
I'm assuming it's got some elevation to it.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should just go for fun.
That's kind of what I'm trying to do, I think.
But if you PR'd even better. Cause I would think that's going to be, you know, again, comparable to Grand Island, which is just such a flat and, let's be honest, boring course. I don't think I'm going to do Grand Island, next year. I'm hoping next year to maybe do some more trail. I want to do whether I have to finish this 50K, but whether or not I do, I'm sure there'll be another 50K for next year, maybe two, who knows. But I don't necessarily know if I want to go chasing things next year. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think I'm going to do Grand Island, but I'm going to run it backwards too, like that one guy that we always see.
Oh, yeah, yeah, comes, yeah. Comes
what's his nickname around the community? What do we call him? Ponytail Man or Hair Man or something?
Yeah, yeah, Ponytail Guy. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, local.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. So I don't know what else. Anything else you got, Jay?
No, that's it for me. Just gotta get out there. Gotta put my shoes on. You know, speaking of shoes, I'm still not 100% sure these new shoes that I have are the right ones for me. You know, I had the Ultras,
right?
The zero drop, right? The Provision 2s, and then I decided to switch it up, and for the first time ever, my normal go-to shoes are Asics. So it was hard for me to get the Ultras. And now, you know, that I've retired the Ultras, instead of going back to ASICs, I decided to try Brooks, which so far they're okay, but they're more for a neutral foot.
Right.
And I have extremely flat feet. So I'm still trying to determine if these things are right for me. So,
well, what I mean, I would assume you've done research on it. I don't have flat feet like that. I mean, I have low arches, but I mean, I run in a neutral shoe, but I ran in the ProVision, which is a stability shoe. Right. Once I moved out of those, because I suspected that was the issue, and I got to give my buddy Glenn props because he had been telling me that for probably 3 weeks before I made the move, or even a month. I don't think he ever said I told you so. So I appreciate that. But, you know, I did some research and so I don't have flat feet, but should you be in a, like, have you found you should be in a stability shoe, or like, what is it, a motion control or neutral?
Well, you know, honestly, most of my research puts me back to a stability shoe or, you know, for more severe, feet, you would go towards the motion control, which I don't think my feet pronate that bad. So, you know, all my life I've come to find out I've mostly bought stability shoes just naturally. Like, that's just what I gravitated from just trying them on, which actually works out perfect for the flat feet thing. So this shoe is the neutral, like I said. So I figured I'd just try something different just to see if it does affect my running. But, so I'm still on the fence. I haven't ran enough.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to say it. I was just saying you got to kind of get out there and run to find out if the shoe works or not.
I have some short distances in them, but nothing long. So I got to put up a long run to see what they do, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But we'll get there.
Well, Steven, you know, talking about feet and everything and shoes, I mean, obviously, I mean, you're like that. What was it, that queen or princess that had like hundreds of pairs of shoes?
Oh, Mel DeMarcos.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah.
But
hey, I'm not that
no,
bad.
No, but you're pretty bad. You are a whore with shoes. That's for damn sure.
Okay, I have we did Facebook tonight. I have 11 pairs. Glenn has 10. But Glenn sent me a pair. So
does that mean that you are going to have 12 and he'll have 9, or he'll have?
Well, he just ordered Speed Goats, which means I'll probably have to order Speed Goats. But yeah, that's all right.
He ordered
Dude,
the
I only
Speed
have
Goats
3.
Yeah, he ordered Speed Goats.
Yeah, I posted mine in there. I've got 3 pairs. I mean, I have 2 pairs of beat up shoes that Bill gave me to find out a shoe that fit and felt good. But I don't really regularly cycle them. One of them, I guess, I do on the treadmill. But anyways, you know, you dealt with some plantar fasciitis. How is that going? I mean,
I'll tell you what. I think I've mentioned it before on the podcast. It's never been really severe. It's just always been there in my left foot because when I run roads here, how cambered the roads are. But I have recently started taking yoga twice a week. I think this is week 3 for me. And I can't swear to you that that's what fixed it, but it's gone. I mean, there's not even a trace of it left. And you just talk about rejuvenating. I mean, I had it tonight, and I think I told you early this morning, I voxed you that just, you know, my run this morning, my legs were dead. I mean, just dead. And they feel great now. I'm ready to go for the morning.
Well, that's
so
good.
definitely recommend taking some yoga classes.
What's your favorite pose?
Well, it really depends. You know, you go through, she varies at every class. You know, the routine, sometimes you're on the wall, they call it. But, you know, there's the standard, the downward dog and the burp and hippo or something. Hippo. I don't know all the names of it. But, yeah, it's, and they have the child poses, they call them, where you're grabbing your feet and rocking like a baby. But some of them, boy, they stretch things I didn't know could be stretched. I mean,
well, that's but what I was gonna say. I mean, whether or not that is what has helped or gotten rid of the plantar fasciitis, I mean, and on a serious note, I mean, I know you don't rotate 11 shoes every day, but I would assume you're rotating some in. I mean, maybe that alone, by not pounding in the same pair of shoe, is helping.
Well, I've always rotated my shoes. I mean, I've done that for a couple years at least. I try not to always run in the same pair every day.
Yeah, but I know that over the past maybe 3 months since you've known Bill, Glenn, and myself, you've probably accumulated another 6 pairs of shoes. So you're definitely doing some more rotating. Maybe one of those work.
Yeah,
better.
It could be. You know, I can't swear to you that's what did it, but you know, I'll say within a week and a half of starting yoga, it was getting a lot better, and now it's gone. And I'm putting more miles in. So, like I said, I can't tell everyone if you're suffering from that, go out and take yoga. It's going to fix it, obviously.
But I think if someone's a runner or whatever, I think it's probably a really good thing to do anyways. I would assume even if that didn't go away or whatever, the stretching
right.
and the flexibility.
Stretching, the core work, that type
yeah,
of stuff.
My wife used to do yoga years ago, and she's got video and stuff, and I've actually been like, I need to get those out and start doing it for the flexibility, the core strengthening, and I want to start doing it for that, as well as doing my core routines anyways, because I know
right,
with this 50K coming up, like I said, you know, it's like almost 32 miles. There's hills on this. I need to be as strong as I can going in.
Yeah. And then Grant, this yoga, there's different types of yoga. I don't know the names of them. The one we actually have a yoga teacher in this little town I live in. It's more of that meditative. I mean, it's real slow moving, stretching type. Where, you know, they have like that athletic yoga where, you know, you're actually just sweating when you're done and stuff. No, but when you're done with this one, you actually feel very relaxed. Even though while you're doing it, you're really stretching some stuff. You know, it gets uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, I need that anyways, like the relaxing part of it, you know, with the anxiety and stuff. I think that'll help me as well. And then getting back into, I'm just trying to get a more steady, routine going in. I really feel like I just, not that I so much overtrain, but though I think I did maybe overtrain a little for Buffalo, but you know, Glenn and I, again, we talk all the time and we were pretty comparable with the things we did, and we were kind of dumb about some things and maybe a little more aggressive than we should have been at times. And like he had said, you know, maybe we peaked a little too soon, you know? So right. I'm going into this 50K, not to be at a, I'm basically going in to be healthy, and to be ready physically and fitness wise is, and then whatever happens. I'm not going like, I need to get this time or this or that, but, yeah. And there's a bunch of us that are doing it. I think the whole entire crew that ran Bristol are going. So, you know, great. Whether we drive up together, we start or anything, once that gun goes off, see you boys. Now that could be them taking off on me or me taking off on them, but we all have the understanding that let's just get there, meet up, you know, handshake and boom, let's go do our thing that we got to do, because this is a 10K loop. So it's not like you're out far on this course like Bristol, where it was kind of, to be honest, at points it felt dangerous too. There wasn't that was probably my biggest, critique of Bristol Mountain Challenge was I think we all agreed that they should have monitored the course a lot better than they did, because there's some spots where people could really get in some serious trouble, and you know, and that played on my mind as well, you know, which I know it did on Glenn as well, you know, with his decision. So I think that's the only downside of critique I have about Bristol was they need to figure out how they can monitor that course a little bit better.
Right.
Because it's dangerous.
If it was a first year, you know, they'll figure things out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm planning on emailing with some feedback. You know, hopefully other people will. They'll get feedback somehow on that race, and maybe they can kind of change that up. But other than that, I have no complaints about it.
Oh, good.
All right. Well, we're going to start getting ready to wrap up. But, Steven, you got some races coming up this fall. You got the Moab Trail Marathon. So how...
Well, I have one coming up in just a few weeks, the Hawk in Lawrence, Kansas. That's a trail marathon. I kind of wanted to do the 50-miler, but I'm just not in 50-mile shape on a technical trail.
When is that?
That's September 9th, September 10th. I have to be there the 9th for the safety meeting.
Yeah, but I mean, it's probably best that you're not, too, with Moab in October.
Yeah, and then Moab's November.
Oh, is it?
There's a couple short ones I'll do in October. We have our local Panther Run, which is a 15K road. I'll do that. I enjoy that one. And then I'm still trying to make up my mind for December. That You Don't Know Jack, that I did that 50K at. They're doing it again, but they have added a 50 miler, a 75K, and a 100K.
Now, which so one, what's honestly, like, what's the one that piques your interest?
The 100K. The 100K.
What is that, 60 miles? Something like that?
62, is right. It something like that? Yeah, yeah.
And what kind of course? That's a flat course, though, right?
That's going to be a rails to trails. Crush yeah, gravel. It's not as nice as Frisco one because it's got lots of it have some larger rocks. It's kind of hard to run on. I don't know if I'll be in that shape for that, especially after doing back-to-back trail marathons. And I'm keeping that one up in the air. I mean, I might do the half marathon. I don't know. We'll see. And then there is a marathon at the end of December. It's a road one called Run for the Ranch. It's one the local running club puts on. It's always I volunteered at it last year. I think I'm going to run it this year. But it's like December 31st. They advertise as the last marathon of the year in the United States.
That's December 31st. When is this the You Don't Know Jack?
That's like December 2nd, so or somewhere around there. That one's in the first, so I don't know. I don't know about December. I know I have the Hawk, which I really want to do that one. It seems to be a favorite of a lot of the ultra runners around here. I've never ran it before, so
my opinion, I think you need to focus on Moab, you know, being your prime objective for the year, and then kind of take it from there. I know that you don't plan to air quote race Moab because it's more about the experience of where you're going to be and taking it all in. But I don't know, man.
I think that's going to be a difficult one. I've watched, there's videos on YouTube of people running it. It looks challenging.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But you're.
So that is the focus. And that's why I'm saying You Don't Know Jack is way up in the air. So somewhere between the 5K and the 100K is probably what I'll run.
It's, you know, just a little window.
Yeah, just a little window. And then after that, I will take a break again and then start training for the 100 mile or so.
Which is next fall, right?
November 27th. Yeah, 2017.
Where I'm supposed to be coming out to pace / crew.
Yeah.
Which would be a pretty fun experience. And
well, I guess I got to get in shape for that idiot Bristol Mountain Run thing.
Yeah, bring your trekking poles. I'm serious. We've all said we're gonna get trekking poles.
I'm with you. Was it John Kerry? He said that I was against him until I was for him or something. Anyways, that's kind of I was against him until I was for him. But that's pretty much my schedule.
That's a pretty big schedule for the rest of the year. Pretty big appetite, but if anyone is going to do it, you'll be able to get that done. And it'll be fun.
Do the Beastie Boy running, you know, slow and low.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys. That's going to wrap up this episode. It's good to get back into the podcasting seats here. Again, thanks to Andy for stepping up and helping us out. Keep the
doctor.
Keep the RSS going. Looking forward to you guys getting your thing going. We'll definitely, I'm sure, post that in the Facebook group when that comes available. And maybe we'll have a name change there or something. But if anybody wants to get a hold of us, you can send us an email. It's theaverageRunnerPodcast@gmail.com. You can send us you can leave a voice message if you want on our voicemail at 716-224-6476. We do have a Facebook group. Don't know the URL for that, so I'll put that in the show notes. The gentleman here on Strava, I'm currently incognito on there. I needed to just kind of take a break as we talked. The leaderboards are fun, but I can fall victim to that, and I just felt like I needed to kind of just train smart and not get sucked into it. So I'm currently not really on there that much or really. But if you want to follow these guys, they're on there. And as far as helping us out, head over to iTunes. If you haven't done it already, please leave us a rating and a review. And that helps us out, and we greatly appreciate that. So, gentlemen, unless you have anything, I think that's going to wrap up this episode.
I'm good. Until next time.
Thanks for listening.